So first I'll just take a minute to explain what we're going to try to accomplish over here in the 3 weeks that we have a little preparation for the Tefillos and Rosh Hashanah. So I had in mind is as follows. This week we'll talk about the Haysafis that Chazal added into Shemoneh Esrei, Zachreinu, Micha Moicha, Uchsoiv, and Sefer Chaim Tev Lushalom. We'll talk about those. Next week, Be'ez Hashem, we'll talk about Chintim Pachtecha, that addition to Shemoneh Esrei. And the last week, we'll discuss Malchus Zechariah and Shacharis, hopefully. And maybe we'll have an additional share of Saras Mitzvah, we can talk about Vidui and that aspect of the field. I don't know, that hasn't been officially been designated yet. But in any case, maybe we'll get to that. Now, now there's obviously, if we're going to start working through the tefillahs word by word, and all the different Pirushim and Pirushim Milos, will never end, and we'll never really get started either. So that's not what I had in mind. What I had in mind was, and I feel this is a very, very... one of the most important nekudas when it comes to learning a pirush of tefillah, besides that, obviously, you do have to understand what you're saying. But I do find, more than that, it's very important that you should find a certain explanations of tefillah, so certain pirushim that cause you to be nesira. Right? I find that to be one of the most important things. You have to find somehow, some place in tefillah, so some explanation of the things that you're saying, something that speaks to you, something that makes you be nesira, something that makes you connect to what you're saying. You know, it's very difficult to be mechaven as is, right? You know, as befrat the way we live our lives and with all the things that are crowding our mind and vying for attention. And most of us, myself included, you know, our minds, our brains are logged into our phone, basically. You know, that keeps our life in order, or our computer or whatever. Otherwise, you know, when we turn things off and I'm typing, you know, then what? So, you know, we live a life that things are flying around, a lot of things are in our mind, and it's very hard for us to focus and to concentrate. And Befrat, when you're davening Shemoneh Esrei, it's like suddenly it's quiet and you're in a quiet room and there's plenty of time to think all of a sudden. You know, you're not going anywhere and your mind tends to wander a lot. And I find for the most part, there's two ways when you're davening Shemoneh Esrei that you could actually have Kavanah. One is very hard and one is a lot easier. The very hard way is that you can actually work on picturing as yourself that you're talking to Hashem. Picture yourself as you're being Aymed Lefnei HaMelech. That's very hard. Now, it could be done, and it is something that everybody should work on and should put effort into, but it takes work. It takes an exceeding amount of effort to peel away, you know, all our feelings of, you know, describing reality as something that's tangible, as something that you can touch, as something that you can see, and start to accept the fact that you're actually talking and being heard by being that can't be touched, heard, and see, just understood, and just you can feel, and you can understand, but... that's hard. So that's hard, and that takes work. And it's something that everybody should work on and put some, you know, before you start Shemoneh Esrei, certainly on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Ne'roim, you should take a few seconds and just try to, you know, block everything out and picture yourself that you're standing and being listened to by Melech Malchei HaMelachim. And it's certainly something you should work on. And I find that is definitely one of the most powerful things you can do to help yourself concentrate. But an easier way, I find, is that if you relate to what you're saying, and if the words you're saying are rather than just be words printed in the siddur that you're saying by rote, but they're words that mean something to you, and then they change from being words in the siddur to words that you're saying, right? It's a conversation you're having. So you're talking about something that's relevant to you. You're speaking your heart. That, but more than anything, that gets you to be nisayir, gets you fired up about what you're saying, and that somehow helps your whole focus change and concentrate on what you're saying. If anybody ever was zeicha to be so nesayir that he started crying, especially during, you know, Yom Ne'roim, he'll know that when you get to that point of nesayiris, you don't have this problem that you start thinking about other things. You become totally focused on what you're doing. Right? So the nesayiris that a person gets of relating to what he's saying, right? And that is the reason why we get nesayir, right? We get nesayir when we say, mashal, when lo'aleinu, someone has a chayla, right? Someone has a sick person that's close to him. When he says refa'enu, it starts meaning something to him, right? Not so much because he's then margish more HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's margish more that he needs HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's margish more that these words mean something. Refa'enu, I need this, right? So it means something to him, and that starts getting to him to be nesayir. So I think, and this is what I'm going to try to focus on, that in the tefillahs that we add in Rosh Hashanah, it's important that we understand what we're saying in a way that we understand we're talking. And this is something very important to us, and it should take on a meaning and an expression of something that that you know we need to talk about and we need to express to Hashem so that we could become the Sire. That's what I'm going to try to focus on in these Haisafis and in Be'ez Hashem Chen Tein Pachtecha, and likewise in Malchus Rufinus and Shifres. Now, it's a fascinating thing. These Dalet Hazkaras that we say, you know, Micha Moicha, Zecheinu L'chaim, they're very, very unique. What's unique about them is that they're an addition to Shemoneh Esrei, but everybody knows that if you forget them and you don't say Micha Moicha, you don't say Zecheinu, you don't have to daven again. Whereas everything else that's added to Shemoneh Esrei, just about everything else, is Ma'akev. The Yal V'Yava, if you forget, you have to daven again. Hamelech HaKadosh, you have to daven again. Hamelech HaMishpat, you have to daven again. Why is it that these particular Haisafas are not Ma'akev, don't require you to daven again? So it's actually Machlek Sushainim, it's two Deis and Taisus, and Brachas Daf Yir Alef and Beis. But we paskin, like the Rashi explains over there, that these Haisafas were not created by the Anshei Knesset Gadolim. Likewise, they were not created by the Tanoim and the Meraim of the Gemara. They were a Takana that happened after the Gemara. The Ga'onim were Masakin them. And the Ga'onim added it to Shemoneh Esrei, and anything which is not Medina de Gemara, anything which is not mentioned in the Gemara, is not Ma'akev. It doesn't require you to daven again if you forget it. So what's fascinating is that here we have a part of Tefillah which is very unique. It's not something Anshei Knesset Gadolim made up, and it's not something that the Gemara made up. It's something the Ga'onim, who came later, decided to add. I don't think there's anything else like that. Now, what's even more fascinating is that where did they add these words? In the precise place where Chazal said, don't add words. The Gemara says in Brachas, Daf Lamed Aleph, they said, you can make bakashas wherever you want. You want to add something to an Esrei? Be my guest. Shema Kaleinu you could add, Rafa'enu you could add about Rafua, in Tekav HaShefer you could add about Ka'ula, in any one of the bakashas in the middle of Brachas, you can add whatever you like to Shema Esrei. But in the first three and the last three, there we don't add. There you're speaking about Hashem Yisbaruch, you're speaking Shevach, Haidav, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're describing how great of a king he is. It's just not respectful to make personal bakashas in those first three or last three brachas. And here come the Gaonim, and they decide to make up a tefillah of their own, and where do they put it? In the first three. No, not enough that they decide we need a new tefillah, they stick it into the precise place where Chazal said don't put it. They put it there. That needs an explanation. And more so, Taisus actually asked this question, and the Rosh asked this question. They said, how could they add Micha Moicha and Zecheinu into the first three brachas? You're not allowed to add personal bakashas into the first three brachas. So they say that no. When you're asking for a tzibur, that's different. If you're asking a personal bakasha for yourself, that can't be added into the first three brachas. You're asking for a whole tzibur, that could be added into the first three brachas. And the Rosh explains the reason is because that itself is a big covet to Hashem. That the whole tzibur needs him, not just yourself. The whole tzibur needs you, that's something that could be added to the first three brachas. Okay, so, fine, we found a way, a loophole, that it could be added to the first three brachas. But why did it need to be added to the first three brachas? That's not the right place to make a bakasha. A bakasha should be somewhere in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Well, why in the first three brachas, which weren't designated to make bakashas, do we start talking about Zecheinu and Micha Moicha? Why there? What's the point of it being there? That's a problem. That's a problem. Now, as an aside, and this is an important thing, Rav Matzio Salomon, I heard this from him, he gave a drasha once when I was in New York, and it's printed also. He just says a very important point, which is also a good thing to keep in mind, and it is also a hazaris. He says, being that now Taisus told us that the only heter, the only right we have to add Micha Moicha and Zecheinu L'chaim and Uchsoiv into the first three and last three brachas is because we're davening for a whole tzibur, he says you have to have in mind the whole tzibur. You can't say Zecheinu and say, okay, myself, my wife, my kids, that's not going to fly. Then you shouldn't be saying it. The only way you could say Zecheinu is if you're Meshatav yourself, you include yourself and you daven for everybody, not for yourself.
Stop the us, me, because Zecheinu is plural.
Correct.
Us.
So right, that is. So if you're having correct kavanas hamilim, right, it should be that. That's true. But he's saying, just have that in mind too. Don't just think of yourself. The correct kavana when you're saying Zecheinu Micha Moicha is you're having in mind for the whole tzibur, not just for yourself. You're including yourself with the whole tzibur, and we'll see in a second that is very an intrinsic point in Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah to make sure that you're part of the Tzibur. And that's a very, very, very important way that a person is zaycha to get Slicha Kapara and his Tefillahs listened to in Rosh Hashanah. But we'll get to that. But first, let's try to understand this. So why is it, A, why did the Gaonim find it necessary to add things to Shemoneh Esrei, which Chazal didn't add? B, why did they add it in the first three brachas, where it's not the right place for bakashas? So I looked around a little bit to see someone who speaks about it. I didn't find anybody addressing these questions. But I'll tell you what I think. And the Yisoid is a true Yisoid regardless, and it's one of the most important things a person has to realize before you daven in Shemoneh Esrei. And what you need to realize before you daven in Shemoneh Esrei, what all of us have to realize, and we have to really work on that, this realization is what fuels our Shemoneh Esrei, is that, very simple, davening works. And it sounds simple, and it seems that it's a simple thing, but it's something which is a very, very, very powerful machshava, and it's the key. The key for your tefillahs to be listened to is that you should believe they work. And when we stand and start davening on Rosh Hashanah, and we open up that machzor and we start davening, the first thing that we have to realize is that everything, my whole year, everything Hashem is going to pass again, everything Hashem is deciding on, everything depends on these tefillahs. That's what it depends on. If I do this right, then I have it made. If I mess this up, then I don't know. You know, then you're just like everybody else that didn't. That's not davening. But your key, the key for you, the key for success is the tefillahs. And Hashem, He listens to tefillahs. And if He wants you to daven, and if you daven like a mensch, and you daven properly, and you pay attention to what you're saying, and you have the right kavana, and you connect to Hashem, He's going to listen to you, and He's going to answer you. And he'll act according to the way you daven. So the most important thing, and to me, in a way, this is the most powerful way that I could be ma'ir myself before I daven Shemoneh Esrei, is that first I focus and I say, this is it. I need to do this. If I want Hashem to listen, if I want to have a good year, if I want Hashem to pay attention to me, if I want Hashem to reevaluate my whole being and what I've been doing, I need a daven, and these tefillahs are the only thing that are going to make it happen. So that machshava is the most important thing that you can think before you start davening, is realize that this is going to do it. This is what's going to make it happen. The only chance of success is to daven. That Hashem is going to listen to your tefillahs. Hashem wants to hear your tefillahs. He's waiting to hear your tefillahs, and He's going to listen if you just daven, if you just pay attention to what you're saying. So I think that the truth is you find this in Tanakh, that as the Doros went along, people lost some of their conviction that Hashem is listening to our tefillahs. At some point, there's a whole parsha in Yecheskel where the Klal Yisrael and argue with the Navi if Hashem will be mekabel tshuva or not. Klal Yisrael says, that's it. Hashem's not taking our tshuva. We're out. We're finished. And Yecheskel says no, and there's a whole parsha of tshuva over there in Yecheskel, where Yecheskel says. So as Darius went along, and the Golos got longer and longer, and more tzaras came to Klal Yisrael, this conviction, this belief, and this thing, which is one of the most important things that a yid has to know, that you can connect Hashem and daven, He'll listen, is something which got a little schwacher. And that's why I was thinking, if the Gaonim found it necessary to put this into Shemoneh Esrei. And what they did was as follows. The first three brachas, what are the point of the first three brachas? We say, Baruch Atah Hashem, HaKel, HaMelech, HaGadol, HaGibor, VaHaNeira. We're describing that Hashem is the one who can do it. He's the one who's in control, and He's the only one who can help us, and He's the only one who has the power to do anything, and the whole world is all dependent on what He wants. You know, we tend to be status quo people. If things are good, we think it'll stay good. As soon as things get bad, chas v'shalom, someone has a sickness, or some other tzara, or he loses his money, loses his job, your teva is, it's never going to change, right? The teva is a person just lives with his status quo. And in reality, there is no status quo, right? That's, you know, we all know that, but we have to live with it. But just because we have something good today, it's because Hashem wants us to have something good today. It can change with the blink of an eye. Nebuch, this person who is just nifter, right? You know, just something that can't help, that you can't help being a sire from that. Look, you know, everything, he was on a vacation, no one was expecting anything, and then from one day to the next, you know, it became a horrible tragedy. So we're not sure of anything. We're not sure of anything good. And when things are bad, it's the exact same thing. It can be bad, and from the one minute to the next, it can become good. And everything, all these things are solely in the domain of Hashem, who's in charge of everything. And that is the point of the first three brachas. We're declaring and bringing ourselves to understand who we're davening to and why we're davening. We're davening because he's a Kael Agav HaGibur Baneira. He has Rachmanis. He's a Meimus Umechai and Goyim Chasadim Taivim. That's why we're davening to him. He listens to us and he wants to help us. He's waiting for us to daven so that he can be Meitiv to us. That's the point of the first three brachas. And there was something missing there. When we were davening, we were feeling, I don't know if Hashem is going to listen to us. I don't know if Hashem is ready to be Mekabalos anymore. These tefillas, Zachreinu and Micha Maicha, the point of these tefillas were to strengthen by us the belief that Hashem wants to hear from us. Hashem will find a way to make it work. He'll find, no matter what you're back, what happened in the past year, what you've been doing, Hashem will find a way to remember us. He'll find a way to work it out through Midas Adin and through Midas Arachimim that we can pull through. We just have to ask Him for it. Rav Dessler has a beautiful, beautiful way of explaining this in the Tefillah of Zachreinu and Micha Maicha. He says when we say Zachreinu L'chaim, he says when we say Zachreinu, Zachreinu means even if there's only one thread left, we're hanging by one thread that you can remember us by. We've done everything wrong, every last thing that possibly could make it that Hashem won't want to remember us and won't want to pay attention to us. Even if there's one little thing left, Zachreinu, we can grab onto that, and Hashem wants to grab on. Why? He's a melech chafetz b'chaim. Even though he's a melech, and melech usually, it connotates din, right? Melech usually is not an expression we use to of Rachmanis. But we say, even though he's a melech, although he's a melech, he's a chafetz b'chaim. He's a chafetz b'chaim. He wants us to live. He wants us to give another. He wants to give us another chance. And he's going to find a way, even with din, since he's a chafetz b'chaim, he'll find a way to remember us. Right? If we try, if we just want to move forward, he's going to find a way to remember us, and he'll make it l'man chalekim chaim. And the understanding of this is that as long as we can apply ourselves to the grand master plan, and we can make us l'mancha, we can make that our life will further the kvod malchus shemayim in the world, will further the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of bringing this world to its tachlis, where everybody knows about Hashem and everybody serves Hashem. So if we live like that, then Hashem will be zachreinu and he'll be a melech, even though he's a melech, it'll fit into din, he'll make it l'mancha. The fact that it's Lamancha, he'll override everything we've done and he'll just put us back into a new track. So the Zachreinu, when we're saying the Zachreinu, what we're really doing is, what we're trying to do is, it really is part of the first three brachas. And the way it's a part of the first three brachas is the same way the rest of the first three brachas is, we're establishing by us how Hashem is the one we need to dive into because he's the Melech and he's the Ozer and he's the Moshiach and he's the Magen. Likewise, we're saying, Zachreinu L'chaim, we're davening to you because we know you're going to be Mekabel our tefillas. We know you're going to take us. We know you're going to take us back. You're a Melech Chafetz B'chaim. We're asking you to remember us, and we know that you're going to accept us. It's a Hischaskus for us. It's a Hischaskus for us to come to the recognition of why we're davening to Hashem, why it's worth it to daven to Hashem. It's worth it because he's going to take you. He'll find a way to make it work. He'll find a way to pull you back. That's the Hisiris a person has to have when he's saying these extra tefillas that the Ga'inim put in here. They put them in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei specifically to jumpstart your Shemoneh Esrei, to start thinking, to realize what you're doing over here. Why are you standing here? You're standing here because you have a chance. You have a chance of Hashem listening to you, no matter what happened in the past. He says more than that, Rabbi Dessler. He says that the real translation of Zachreinu, Zechira, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no real past, future, and present. Everything plays together. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's understanding of things is how the past affects the future and how the present affects the past and the future. It's all tied together. So when we say Hashem, remember, we mean we're asking Hashem to look at our whole past. It's true. We've done Averis and we've lived the way we've lived. But we're going to turn ourselves around, and through turning ourselves around, everything we did in the past is going to be a vehicle to make our new selves in the future. And that's the way it always is, right? Depending on whatever your past experience is with, the mistakes you made, no matter how bad they were, right, no matter what they were, if you decide to change and you make that move, those mistakes are going to make you a better person. Those mistakes are going to now cause that your new change, your new Kabbalah, the way you want to live your life now, is going to be that much stronger, that much better. A person has to hit rock bottom, right? That's when he realizes, okay, now that's it. Now I got to change, right? So all the mistakes of the past, once you start changing, they all become, in effect, a keli. They became a vehicle. They became a way that now your new life is all as a result of the previous mistakes that you made. So, in other words, we can redefine you as a new person, and we can take all the mistakes you made and use it as part of the new definition, the new you. It's not a waste of time. It's not a. It was not a. You know, a loss of good time. True, you probably could have used your time way better, and it would have been better if you had been serving Hashem correctly. But in the light of what you're about to do, in the light of you're willing to be mekabel on yourself, this past Hashem will be zachreinu, and He'll take your whole past and He'll look at it as a malach chafetz b'chaim. How can it be applied to the future? How can we define you? How are you ready now to live l'mancha l'kim chaim? The Ramchal in his sefer, beautiful sefer called Maimar Chachma, where he explains what Shem davening. He says the first two Esafis and the last two Esafis, in other words, the first two are Zachreinu and Micha Maicha, and the first three, and the last two Esafis are Uchsav L'Chaim Taivim and Besefer Chaim B'Shalom. He says they serve two different purposes. The first two, Zachreinu and Micha Maicha, the purpose of those, we're davening to Hashem, please redefine us. There's a sefer of Tzadikim, and there are Sefer of Rishayim. It's called Sefer Chaim and Sefer Mason. It doesn't necessarily mean who's going to live and who's going to die. It means who is alive and who is dead. A person who's a tzaddik, which means a person who's using his time, who's being productive, that's the person who is alive. You, Hashem first has to put you into which book do you go into? Are you the alive person or are you the dead person? What's the difference? Tremendous difference. Difference is how Hashem relate to you. If you're a person who's not productive, then you just get swept along like everybody else. You know, we keep you here as long as you're necessary to be kept here, but you're not being kept here because of anything you can add. You're not being kept here for anything that you can contribute to society. You're being kept here because, you know, there's a need for a certain amount of people, there's a need of a certain amount of animals, there's a need for a certain amount of population, so you'll go along with everybody else. You won't get any special siyata d'shmaya. You won't get any help to accomplish any achievements in Torah and Yiras Shamayim. You won't get moved forward. That's the Freemason. We want to be redefined. That's not where we belong. We're productive people. We have things to contribute to society. Put us into Sefer Chaim. Redefine everything we did. Redefine us. Even though we may not have been productive in the past, we're ready to become productive now. Put us into the Sefer Chaim. That's the first two tefillas you say. Zachreinu l'chaim and Micha Moicha Ahav Rachamim Zorichu Yitzur of l'chaim b'rachamim. That life is the definition of a live person. I think when we refer to a person, you know, sometimes say, okay, that person, he's alive, right? Or you say another person, he's dead. You know, I davened in a minion once, this a guy who was davening, you know, it was like he was cranking out the words, you know, like, there was no life in his davening, no inflection. There's the joke, they say that they once went to Yossel Rosenblatt, famous chazan, he said, davening in the Churvishul, you know, the father of all modern chazanim, and they said, you know, why is it that all the other chazanim charge half of what you charge? So he says, well, they only have half the emotion that I have. You know, so when we say someone's alive, right, what are we referring to? He's alive. You mean he's alive, he's productive, he's producing, he's giving off strength, he's giving off energy, he has what to contribute. And a dead person, that's a person that all those that don't exist, right? He lives and he just goes on and he doesn't do anything new and he just does everything he was doing before. So when we say chayim, it means the literal translation of being alive. What does being alive mean? Being alive means contributing something. Going forward in Ruchni is being a live person, living your davening, living your relationship with Hashem, living and learning, and that's what we all would love to do. It's hard sometimes, right? We need the Hesiris for it. We're davening for Hashem, put us in that book. Give us that siyata d'shmaya that we need to be alive, to live what we're doing, to live what we're learning, to live what we're avodas Hashem, live Yiras Shamayim. Give us all that, put us in that category so we can start a whole new life. That's the first two. The last two, when we say Chsayv L'Chaim Tev, and we say B'Sev R'Chaim Shalom, you'll notice, we suddenly start saying specific things. B'Sev R'Chaim, Bracha V'Shalom, Parnasa Teva, Nizachar V'Nikasev, and then when, you know, in the Chazar Sashat, it's even longer, we say a longer Tefillah Avinu Malkeinu. So there he says, we're dominating for now that we're in the right book. That's fine, you could be in the right book. But also then, Hashem has to make specific Zeris, they have to be good too. The specific zeres won't necessarily be dependent on which book you're in. We don't know what Hashem's decisions are. So aside from davening, that we should be safe for Chaim, which we did in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, in the end of Shemoneh Esrei, we make the tefillas that put us in the right book. These gezeres tivus, and we should get shalom, and we should get parnasa, and we should get everything we need. Why? In order that we can do what we mentioned in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. In order that we can be live people. In order that we shouldn't be distracted from being able to be productive and in ruchnius and alive in Torah and mitzvahs. That's the purpose of the last two ha'safas. The last two ha'safas are, now that we're in the right book, please give us the kalim, give us the opportunities, give us the things we need to be able to do everything we mentioned in the first two haskaras. just to recap, so what we said is like this. We said that the reason why the Gaonim saw fit to make these Hasafas in Shemoneh Esrei, even though they didn't exist up till that time, and even though it's the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei where L'chaira that shouldn't be the place where it should be added, the reason why they put them there is specifically so that we could be ma'ir ourselves properly. We should have the right cheshik when we're davening. We should have the right kavana and realize that don't give up. Realize you're davening Hashem, He wants to hear what you have to say. He wants to find a way to make this work. He wants to find a way to listen to you, and He will listen to you. And what is it that we say? We say, the thing that we say is, put us in the right place. Give us the siyata d'shmaya to be live people, to be people that could serve you, people that could have the siyata d'shmaya, could have the hisairis, to have the chiyas, to do Torah mitzvahs the right way. And then we add in the end, give us all the necessary proper kalim, the parnasa, the life, the refuah, the health, the siyata d'shmaya, practically speaking, so that we can truly live our lives like Torah Yidden.